to As Goes Wisconsin. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Kristen Bry. You are listening in Waukesha, Wausau, Oshkosh, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, and in Madison. Do we get them all, Jane?
That should be everybody.
All right. Listen, all across the state here in As Goes Wisconsin. Again, I am Dan Schaefer filling in for Kristen Bry. We're halfway through another three-hour show.
We're great.
We're doing it. We're making it happen.
Yeah.
We've got some great guests today. And joining us for the next half hour is Greg May, who is the Transportation Policy Director at 1000 Friends of Wisconsin. He advocates for policies that promote walking, biking, and transit in Wisconsin. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Jane. Really excited to be here today.
Now, you and I have talked a few times in the past about the proposed expansion of I-94 in the city of Milwaukee, the 3.5-mile east-west corridor that goes from, 70th Street to about 16th Street in the city of Milwaukee. And we talked a lot for when I was writing about this, at the recombobulation area. I wrote a multi-part series on the proposed expansion of I-94. That series was called Expanding the Divide. And you are part of a coalition that has been opposed to the expansion of I-94. You have advocated for a fix at six option. And shortly after the election last week, Tony Evers' Department of Transportation announced that they were going to select the eight-lane option. Greg, how are you doing with this? You've had some time to process the information.
I have, you know, it's a very frustrating decision for us. You know, there's a reason you release news on Fridays. That's when, you know, news goes to die. You know, that's because this project is controversial, if not slightly unpopular in Milwaukee. And so, you know, we're just really frustrated by, you know, how this whole process is going, but trying to drive people to the meetings in December.
Yeah, there's still going to be a couple public meetings, but you know, it's just there has been a remarkably little public feedback allowed throughout the course of this project. I think about all the different, you know, real estate projects that happen in Milwaukee and all these different communities all over the place who have, you know, all these public hearings about whether this building's going to be built, whether something's going to be redeveloped. You know, we've had so few public hearings on this project when it was revived by Governor Evers. It seems like such a missed opportunity to really hear from what people have to say.
Yeah, it's something our coalition, and I'm a member of the Coalition for More Responsible Transportation, which is, you know, a collection of neighborhood advocates, environmental groups, and just all the folks who are you know, opposed to the highway expansion. You know, it's something that frustrated us at the beginning, you know, these lack of public meetings. The DOT was trying to proceed, you know, with meetings that happened in 2012 and 2013 from when the project was first announced. And that just felt really wrong to us. You know, the project was canceled, you know, 2017, 2018. And so to be, you know, using public meetings that were 10 years old and not, you know, kind of reducing engagement later on in the project just felt really wrong to us. So, you know, we've just been disappointed by the whole process, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I think with, you know, with the new administration, you know, they had the Biden administration and under Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, Secretary Mayor Pete, had a different priorities in running that department than we have seen in the past, and so I think, you know, that opened up a lot of conversation about highways and about how they have historically divided communities and how these, you know, highway widening projects have not solved the problem that they are seeking to, which is to reduce traffic. You know, it's the joke that we have is just, oh, another lane will fix it. Another mm-hmm. lane will fix it over and over. We're doing the same thing again. We're adding another lane. That's going to fix it. Do you think it's going to fix it? Do you think this is the one that's going to fix it?
I think it is, Dan. I think it's going to be the first lane across the entire country that will finally fix congestion. It's going to be this one specifically.
Yeah, it's not going to be. It's not going to be transit. It's not going to be fixed rail. It's not going to be, you know, finding other ways for people to not drive on the highway. It's going to be this exact lane that's going to change it.
Yeah. And you know, that speaks to some of the frustrations we have about this project. You know, we've been doing the same thing, expanding highways for 60 or 70 years in Milwaukee. If we could have built our way out of congestion, we would have done it now. But, you know, our coalition was opposed to this highway for three main reasons. You know, the first was environmental. At a time when climate change, you know, is wreaking havoc and we should be taking action, to be expanding a highway is running counter to goals both that the Evers administration has stated and the federal government has laid out. You know, the other reason is social. You know, we're acutely aware of the impacts highways have had on Milwaukee, disproportionately impacting people of color. And so, you know, to be expanding a highway that will continue that legacy rather than doing a restorative project is upsetting. And the last reason is fiscal. You know, we can always find $1 billion to expand a highway in Milwaukee. We find billions of dollars for interchanges and for, you know, this expansion projects. But at the same time, Milwaukee County's transit service is facing fiscal cliffs. And, you know, tens of thousands of people are facing service cuts. They won't be able to access their jobs, visit their friends, get groceries, go to the doctors. It's just incredibly frustrating that we always have money for expansions, but for transit and for local roads and things, you know, we can never seem to find the money. It's just a very frustrating project.
It is really frustrating. And I think it's right to highlight that difference, because I think, as we saw, I think, you know, you would hope that in this project, yes, there is, we do need to reconstruct this part of highway. It is old. Mm-hmm. What your group and the coalition that you're part of has pushed for is a modernization in this current 6-lane footprint and not adding a lane. And I think the transit component that you mentioned is key when looking back at another recent example of this with the Zoo Interchange project. So the Zoo Interchange project, they proposed this massive redoing of the interchange, but the state gets sued. The state was there. Mm-hmm. There were lawsuits, and the state had to settle and that settlement went towards the creation of what was the Job Lines route, and it funded these routes that would bring people from the city to job centers in the suburbs. So that settlement funded about 4 years of that service, which brought hundreds of people to hundreds of job centers in the region. You know, the type of project that you would want to see expand and continued, and give people. People that, you know, kind of the economic mobility of being able to get to a job and you know, continued growth. And that program died after it was not funded after the life cycle of that lawsuit. So I think a lot of the transit advocates that I've talked to, you know, in reporting this project, feel like the only way we can fund new transit is through lawsuits. It's so frustrating.
It's incredibly frustrating. And, you know, we actually know that there are tons of people in Milwaukee who want jobs and cannot access them because there's, you know, not transit service and they don't own a car. You know, owning a car is incredibly expensive. The AAA, you know, estimates annual costs maybe around $10,000 when you factor in insurance, you know, paying off loans and gas and everything that goes into owning a car. So, you know, we know that there's a disconnect between companies who want to hire people and are struggling to find workers and workers in Milwaukee who want jobs but cannot get to them. And so, you know, we are pursuing and hope to see permanent transit solutions in this project, because as you mentioned, it's very frustrating that we have to keep suing for these temporary short-term solutions. You know, we hope this project at least will help fund BRT on 27th Street and in National Avenue, which are two projects that have, you know, broad support in the community, rather than just giving some money to run buses while construction happens. And then as soon as that money runs out, well, all we're left with is a $1.2 billion expansion and nothing for transit.
We're joined in this half hour of the show by Greg May, who is the Transportation Policy Director at 1,000 Friends of Wisconsin. And we are talking about the decision from the State Department of Transportation to expand the highway with an 8-lane option instead of fixing at 6, which is what Greg and the Coalition for More Responsible Transportation had been advocating for. But I think one thing that did happen over the course of this project, and since Governor Evers revived the proposal to expand the highway, you know, there's been a whole bunch of different proposals for how to reconstruct the east-west corridor of I-94. There was even that ridiculous proposal during the Walker administration of talking about building a double-decker highway, which thankfully never came to fruition. But throughout this proposal, you know, they engaged what was called a supplemental environmental impact statement that allowed for at least some feedback, some changes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the project has at least gotten better. It's not good. Good would be doing the fix at six, but it has gotten better. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. And, you know, if we're going to be critical of the DOT, it's also worth praising them when they do things that are right. You know, the fix at six proposal and, you know, Dan and all the people in your neighborhood and tons of people have been pushing for the stadium freeway to be turned into a boulevard. You know, that seemed like something that was impossible before this project started. But, you know, with this additional outreach, you know, the DOT, the county and the city came together to say, hey, let's look at the stadium freeway. Let's look at this potential for reconnecting these two neighborhoods. What's the potential here? You know, and that's something that's creative and new from the DOT. And it's worth praising them for doing something different and going out on a limb. You know, that and they've downsized the interchange and they're looking at some funding potential around 27th Street BRT. You know, these are things that wouldn't have happened if they hadn't done additional outreach and folks hadn't shown up to advocate for them. And so I 100% agree with you. You know, the fix at six option is better, but what they're proposing is better than what we started with.
Yeah. So they're improvements for the process. Credit to them for that. I, you know, as you're well aware, I've been an advocate for tearing down the stadium freeway and converting it to a boulevard. I really think that is just a huge opportunity there for the west side of Milwaukee and really getting at, you know, some of the big picture issues that were created by these unnecessary freeway expansions in the past. I mean, you look at the demographics on that side of town. West of the stadium freeway, you have a majority white neighborhood. East of the stadium freeway, you have majority black neighborhoods, and actually some of the most diverse neighborhoods that you mm-hmm. see, some of the most integrated neighborhoods that you see. And so expanding a freeway there would be problematic, but I think, you know, conducting this study that the way that they are and perhaps considering pursuing some federal dollars to do this as well, you know, it's not exactly a simple study. This highway goes over the Menominee River, so there are some complications there, so that we'll let the engineers take the time to figure that one out. And you mentioned that, and there's also the changes to the stadium interchange. The initial plans for the stadium interchange called for this massive triple-decker interchange, and it would be kind of the fourth major interchange between the lake and the zoo, which is just, it's just so much concrete and so many highways, but at least they have scaled that part of it back as well.
Yeah, you know, we're excited to see that, because you're right, you know, these interchanges are some of the biggest drivers of the cost of these projects. You know, we've spent so much money on the Marquette interchange, the zoo, you know, these are billions of dollars we're talking about. And this project, you know, the stadium interchange as well would have been huge. And, you know, it just gets back to my previous point I was thinking about, you know, you know, we have so much money for these highway expansions, but, you know, we actually fund transit in Wisconsin, and I'm thinking about viewers across the state, or listeners as well, that we fund transit at a level about 25% less than we did in like 15 years ago when you adjust for inflation. So at the same time, when we're finding billions of dollars for these interchanges, our transit systems are having to do less with less. So, you know, any way we can find savings to make our interchanges smaller that are still practical and work, you know, I'm really here for it, especially as you mentioned, with so much concrete. You know, Milwaukee has faced some of its wettest years on record recently, and just adding impervious surfaces is going in the wrong direction for what is going to be a growing problem.
Yeah, we're joined by Greg May of 1,000 Friends of Wisconsin here. Greg's going to stick around for the rest of the half hour, and we're going to be talking more about the decision to build an 8-lane highway through the city of Milwaukee. My name is Dan Schaefer. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we will be right back.
Give me, yeah!
As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Dan Schaefer filling in for Kristen Bry today, and we have been joined by Greg May, the Transportation Policy Director at 1000 Friends of Wisconsin. We've been talking about the proposed expansion of I-94 in Milwaukee. I think one point we can get to before we move on to some other stuff is just that the fact that Milwaukee does not face the type of crushing traffic that many other large metropolitan areas face. And I think that is part of the discussion around whether or not we really need to spend billions of dollars to expand the highway. Not only just to spend billions of dollars, but push these highways closer into diverse neighborhoods in the city of Milwaukee. The city does not really have the type, like we have a rush hour in Milwaukee, of course. But we don't have the type of crushing traffic that you see in Chicago or New York, or even I used to live in Seattle. There was some pretty bad traffic in Seattle, Atlanta. You know, we're not a city like that. And so I think there was a study done a couple years ago saying that Milwaukee was in the bottom 10% of traffic amount of commute times for large metropolitan areas in North America. And so I think part of the goal that the state officials have told us throughout this process is addressing traffic. Well, Milwaukee has a lot of problems. We all know that Milwaukee has a lot of problems that need addressing. Is traffic really number one? Does traffic really need to get the billions of dollars? And, you know, traffic in general has kind of come back from the pandemic. Obviously, it went down for a while. But I think there's still a lot of people working remotely. There's a lot of people who have changed their approach to getting around the city, maybe biking more, maybe taking transit more often. You know, we have a BRT line that is going to be opening up in the city next year that will run from downtown to the Milwaukee Regional Medical Center. Anybody who rides a bus on the west side of town in Milwaukee like I do knows that there are a lot of people who take the bus to work at the hospitals over there. So perhaps that growing is going to reduce traffic on 94 once again. But, you know, it just seems like this is not the biggest problem when it comes to transportation in Milwaukee, getting on the highway.
No, I 100% agree, Dan. There is a rush hour. It's one of the frustrations of these projects is we build these massive highways for just a few hours of the day when there is, you know, there's a crunch. And the DOT said, you know, we could fix the safety and kind of logistics concerns at six lanes. You know, the reason they're doing expansion is because of congestion. That's kind of why our team was proposing the fix at six. We could address the safety and logistics concerns, which, you know, kind of show up at Brewers games and at some, you know, peak hours. But we could use the savings from that and invest in, you know, turning the stadium freeway into a boulevard, making better walking and biking connections in those communities, and also, you know, promoting bus rapid transit. Because as you said, there's so many problems in Milwaukee. And when I think of, you know, transportation problems in Milwaukee, I think about this really excellent article that Jonah Chester wrote a few months ago for Wisconsin Watch, just kind of talking about the, you know, traffic safety, road safety, and the differences between the bureaucracy at the DOT and the city of Milwaukee wants to make more safety features on roads like Fond du Lac, you know, Avenue, and places where, you know, people are literally dying. There's a huge, reckless driving problem in the city.
Exactly.
And so there's just so many different transportation elements we need to be addressing that I, in my opinion, and I think in a lot of people's opinions, rise above the need to expand this highway.
Greg, I heard one of our competitors say yesterday, and he had cited some crash statistics and implied that widening this to eight lanes is going to alleviate that. Like you said, it's excessive speeding. It's reckless driving. I think eight lanes is just going to make that worse.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all ends up functioning, because one of the ways they've made this feasible, Dan mentioned earlier the double-decker version of this highway. The way they worked around that problem, which is that pinch point around the cemeteries, is to, you know, narrow the lanes to the minimum amount allowed, which is going to kind of pinch cars all together into a point. And, you know, I'm not necessarily sure that that is going to be safer than what's out there now. Especially because right now it's a lot of slow moving cars at, you know, peak hours, which are, you know, result in more minor crashes. But, you know, as you mentioned, there's going to be more cars driving on this. And I think I would be fascinated to see what the traffic or the crash data looks like eventually after this, you know, project is done, because I don't think we're going to see this kind of safety results that are being promoted.
Well, and one of the big safety arguments that they've made the safety argument throughout the process of wanting to expand the highway, but I think the 6-lane option would address some of the biggest safety concerns in that corridor, because mm-hmm. I think some of the biggest safety concerns come from those left-hand turn,
yes,
getting off the highway. Those we're going to get rid of, whether you're going to get rid of those left turn lanes that no one wants, whether it was going to be 6 or 8 lanes. So I think the biggest, you know, if the biggest reason is to address safety, well, the 6-lane version was also addressing safety. I'm very frustrated with the State Department of Transportation, with Tony Evers in particular. You know, he's a governor I agree with on a whole lot of things, but he's wrong on this one. He got this one wrong. Before we finish up here, I want to talk about another project that you have really been pushing a whole lot lately, which is to rethink the future of 794 in downtown Milwaukee. Tell me about that project.
Yeah, so the DOT is going to be spending another $300 million on 794. And so we're just starting a conversation with folks in Milwaukee about, you know, is there potential to turn this elevated freeway that runs between downtown and the Third Ward, into an at-grade boulevard? We'd keep the Hone Bridge, which would just run from the Marquette interchange to the lakefront. And the conversation has been electric, Dan. It's been pretty amazing. We see it's the most popular comment on the city's downtown plan update. We're seeing a ton of social media buzz about it. And we were really excited this week to see the mayor mentioned in the Journal Sentinel that he's open to the idea. There's a ton of great reasons I can dive into if you've got the time, but we also have a website called rethink794.com, which I would encourage people to head to for more of those arguments, facts, and renderings.
Cities belong to people. Cities don't belong to cars. We have plenty of options for cars to get through the city. You can get from 794 onto the Hone Bridge. This would open up so much interesting development downtown, and some prime real estate would be able to connect downtown neighborhoods to the Third Ward. I think it's a terrific, terrific project. We unfortunately don't have much more time to get into that project, but we'll have to have you back to talk more about that and talk more about the efforts that you are and the Coalition for More Responsible Transportation are undertaking as we get closer to those public meetings that we're having in December to talk about the I-94 project. So encourage people to show up at those.
Yeah, absolutely. Head to those meetings in December. I think they're on the 12th and 14th. And thank you, Dan. Thank you, Jane. I really appreciate the opportunity. And, I'm happy to come back and talk about these projects again. Thanks for elevating this conversation and sharing what our coalition is working on. So thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you. Keep fighting the good fight. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Dan Schaefer, and we will be right back.